Internet and information. In this sifting aimed at extracting the golden grains of useful information from the marasmus of all the unnecessary information dumped onto us, we are greatly aided in these new times by the Internet, where we can already find much more, alas, far from even a soupçon of the important stuff which one is looking for, of the stuff which was practically unreachable a decade or so ago. Thus, I remember what a problem it was to find one 1905 paper in the pre-internet days. It's now available online, and those who care about the truth are able to see immediately with their own eyes, by inspecting the paper in question, what deception governed by absurdities actually forms the basis of the so-called modern physics. Internet, of course, is not the be-all and end-all, and some are desperately trying to portray it in order to justify the inept idea of some information society dawning on us to replace the current analog society. What's interesting in this use of internet is not the messenger itself, the internet. What is interesting is the message, its delivery being the trivial part, the way, trivially, the machine is not the screwdriver and the pliers. To see such a thing as the important message, extracted as the information that counts from the seemingly infinite ocean of rigmarole, is unfathomably difficult if one decides to listen to the propaganda, not even knowing where to begin. However, once the fear of confronting the problem head-on is overcome, the more than a century-long lie, perverted to appear as mainstream science, stands naked in all of its full poisonous glory. The direct fearless inspection which anyone with a high school diploma may carry out, aided by the discoveries made in my books, No Great Reset for those uncomfortable with formulae, and especially Deception Governed by Absurdities, the science of today, for those slightly better equipped with a science background, reveals secrets about the sorry state of mainstream physics which that mainstream has propagandistically turned around, portraying them as seminal achievements. Thus, cracking those books open and dipping into them, the diligent students will be rewarded by getting the satisfaction of knowing the truth. They will witness with amazement that major theories of physics are based on the above-mentioned farcical presumption that two differing quantities do not differ but are equal. Furthermore, they will also witness that those pronounced as physics gurus would not bat an eye when they disobey a principle which they themselves have defined to be unquestionably obeyed. Neither would they bat an eye when a single condition is presented through deception as if it comprises two different conditions. As a result, confronted by such a ridiculousness, which is revealed to them by these books, the diligent students, guided by these two books, will establish for themselves the following unshakable facts of utmost importance. See also Introduction. That time runs at the same rate in all coordinate systems, and that physical space can only be Euclidean. The diligent students will be amused, if not outright repulsed, by seeing that there is no refraining in the writing of said pseudo-gurus from posing a question which contains the answer, resorting to the so-called petitio principii, a logical fallacy, presenting such outright cheating as a theory that works. Notably, all this abomination takes place in physics, where exactly the opposite is expected, where the rigor of conclusions is supposed to be assumed without a second thought. This heedless, rather hideous, disrespect for the basics of science, observed in today's theoretical physics, is a despicable situation and a disgrace which has adversely affected the quality of thinking of the whole humanity for over a century, to say nothing of the incurred tremendous material waste in the stead of doing proper science. These discoveries, blowing the lid off the hermetically sealed destroyed physics, are unequivocal beyond a shadow of doubt. And they were the inspiration in this book for seeking absolute truth's analogs in the social field, more specifically in the medico-social state of society, where the rigor of categorical conclusion is not expected as a rule. However, the internet has its shady side, which is discussed in detail in my earlier book, No Great Reset. It has the potential to be a greater danger to the destruction of our world than the atomic bomb. On its good side, the internet is unmatched by anything else as a facilitator of information exchange. Some say that technical innovations have two sides. Atomic energy can have also peaceful applications. With good restraint, its military application can be stopped and an imbalance on the side of the good be maintained. It's not clear, however, to what extent the anti-human eugenics development of biology can be deterred, and the devastating effect on humanity can be offset by the benefits of genetic engineering. The frauds also of a eugenic nature, such as the global vaccine experiments resulting from the foisting of fake pandemics notwithstanding, not to mention deterring the enslaving effect of digital arithmetic, the basis of internet, systematized by Leibniz, commercialized and turned into an overwhelming global super dictator. Because of the seemingly democratic nature of the internet, the impression is given that the opinion of the genius sits alongside the opinion of the fool, and this is perceived by some as devaluing the truth. This is a deceptive impression, because what matters is the quality of the argument. So, what if there are millions of adherents to a false genius who has foisted on the world the absurd, quote, theory of relativity, the falsity of which can be realized by any person of average intelligence? And he who previously might have been regarded by some as a fool can point out the catastrophic error in the, quote, theory of relativity, and, as already pointed out, enables practically anyone to ascertain its ridiculousness and absurdity. Once such a fool has pointed out the catastrophe, that is an act of a genius by the very fact of the insight displayed by that person. Consequently, in view of the criterion of truthfulness contained in the argument, there is no danger that the internet will dilute the truth and the true fools will begin to dominate with their incompetence and low quality of thinking. Conversely, as you can see from the previous books of this author, a pronounced genius turns into the most common fraud and ridiculous annoyance in science once his catastrophic error is discovered. Moreover, speaking of the internet, the very owners of the territories they have walled off on the free internet, to profit from this brute appropriation, have contributed nothing meaningful to the world, let alone do they even have a college education, not that it would matter if they had some important truth to deliver. These half-educated people, however, have tremendous power to impose their mediocrity And that's the thing that's troubling. Humanity should work not to allow the formation of such an elite caste. As for debates where the genius speaks on equal footing with the fool, there are topics where the truth is not in the former's power any more than it is in the latter's. Such a topic is the subject of, quote, vaccines against COVID-19. Who is a genius and who is a fool is not abundantly clear on this topic. Conversely, when it comes to aristocracy, only a fool can deny that not a single aristocrat has died from with COVID-19. Anyone who makes this valid remark on the internet, genius or a fool, matters. As in all other cases where substantive remarks are made, it is the truth of the remark that matters, not the personality of the speaker. Likewise, the denial of the obvious, the denial of the absolute truth of the lack of deaths as a result of COVID-19 amongst the aristocracy, and the crucial importance of this absolute fact in assessing the reality of the COVID-19 pandemic, erases any advantage that the so-called experts have when it comes to credibility and reliability concerning their conclusions about the reality of the alleged COVID-19 pandemic. Being an expert does not mean having an indulgence of frivolous blindness about absolute truths. Quite the opposite. If an expert pretends not to see the absolute truth and does not recognize it as something having crucial repercussions, it's a humiliation for that expert's profession and a disgrace. The least that the experts and the specialists in an area of research must do is recognize the absolute truths and the real significance of these absolute truths for the matter at hand, whatever the conditions or potential hardships that compel turning their heads aside. This applies not only to the marginal question as to whether COVID-19 pandemic is real or not, but also concerns the gravest problem of humanity, the real science, the fundamentals of physics and chemistry, which have been derailed and demolished since the beginning of the 20th century. One more point. Of course, to understand even the most elementary thing requires some level of effort. Therefore, it's not enough to say, quote, I don't get it, and that's a problem which makes me unwilling to go further in unraveling the travesty. The realization of absolute truths on which your life depends, but which are mangled to appear non-existent, allowing for insanity and absurdity to govern, is not something you can ignore lightly. To find yourself among the bullets and not care is suicidal. It's true that anyone would rather be at home, in the warm. But when you are attacked and bullets whiz past your ears, you cannot be indifferent. This sort of direct threat is also the case with the COVID-19 pandemic lie, and especially with the false pseudoscience symbolized by quantum mechanics, to say nothing of the, quote, theory of relativity. These are vicious attacks on each and every one of us, and to be neutral to them, to let others sort them out once the establishment of their falsity and absurdity is at your fingertips, is not far from leaving yourself defenseless to the bullets of a vicious adversary. All this tolerance of futility poses one question. How is it possible for humanity to leave itself in this miserable state? Huge forces are at work, and it's not so strange, since such vast amounts of money are concentrated in so few hands. What can the disunited, powerless humanity do? There is hope, however, as has already been said, that personal enlightenment, the adoption of the method of the individual search for absolute truth as the path to freedom, will one day ripen into the full fruit of freedom that will not allow the enslaving concentration of wealth that allows humanity, those who make up the multitude, the anonymous insignificance, to be reduced to mere primitive biological subsistence, capable of fulfilling only menial jobs, requiring only the ability to perform simple operations.